Welcome, fishermen and outdoorsmen. Sit back and enjoy some real outdoor talk from around the country. Take a trip on one of Betsy's adventures, learning pro tips from the locals who know. So cast your attention our way and catch a tip for your next trip. And now, Fish and Tips with Betsy, with your host, Jeff Bettsworth.
Hey folks, Betsy Fish and Tips. You're not going to believe where I am. I'm on the middle of Lake Winnipeg, Canada, actually in a fish house with Donovan from Blackwater Cats. What is up, my man?
How's it going, buddy? Nice to see you up here.
Good, good. So I'm up here fishing with Tobin, and literally about a half hour ago, he says, hey, Donovan can do a podcast. Let's go. So we hopped in our Rangers and headed over here, and we caught you in a fish house, which is kind of odd because typically you're not a fish house guy, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, after we do this, I'm going to have to kill you guys because nobody has seen me alive fishing inside a fish house before.
Yeah, so maybe I shouldn't have said that. No, because usually these guys are run and gun, man, and that's what I call it, just working hard for those big walleyes. So Blackwater Cats, first of all, tell me how you came up with that name, because obviously you're a catfish guy, right? Is that how you started?
Yeah, you betcha. So I started off on the river catfishing. I was thinking about a name for the business, and I couldn't come up with it. And I was in the river one day, and it was one of these really high muddy springs, and the water was really muddy and dirty. And I was like, man, look at that water, it just looks black. And I'm thinking, yeah, oh, click. Blackwater Cats.
And I did a little research. Lake Winnipeg actually means like muddy waters. So I thought, I don't know if there was a relation there, but what river? So this flows out into a river?
No, so the Red River is, I think, one of the only rivers in North America that flows true north into Red River into Lake Winnipeg, and then from there it goes all into the Hudson's Bay.
Okay, cool. So this is a reservoir, right? Lake Winnipeg?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's huge. It is. I mean, you can't see from shore to shore.
No, it's the 10th largest freshwater lake in the world.
Wow.
You know, it takes you like probably a good 7-hour drive to go from the south tip to the north.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we're just fishing a tiny portion of it.
Yeah, we're fishing a tiny portion of it, but we've also, especially with our open water fishing charters over the last two or three springs, we've started to really pattern these fish. And even talking to people who've been fishing this lake for, 30 years, and we're starting to figure out that, even though we're only, everybody always asks, oh, look at this lake. I'm sure you guys only fish this south basin, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be uncharted waters up north and untouched fish up north. But you know what? Really, those fish start moving south. Like we fish in the wintertime, we fish this, 16 miles across, 5 miles north. But this is where these big fish go, and we see the migration through angling. Basically October 1st every year, these big fish start moving south in force, and there's still good fishing up north, but these ones migrate down here. And you talk to anybody who spent any length of time up there, and commercial fishermen, whatever, they just don't get the big walleye.
Really, down here south is where it's at.
This is where it's at.
Yeah. So the first time I came here, we stayed in Gimli when we fished more up north, and then I met Tobin, and you've known Tobin for like 9 years, I think. He's been using you. And then last year I had the pleasure of fishing with Brad, one of your guys. So how many guides do you run under Blackwater Cast?
So my full team in full operation is about seven of us, eight deep. I think there's me. We got a pecking order, right? So there's me. Ryan's my number one. Brad's right there too. They're my basically full-time guys. And then I got Patty, got Brett, got Vanessa, got Kenny.
Huh.
And then in real busy years, I've also had other people come in and help me out at time, but I basically have a team of about seven.
That's busy. Now Tobin is telling me about Vanessa. He said, now that gal can fish. And one thing I've noticed now, when I fished with Brad last year, I mean, you guys are movers, dude. I mean, he was on a snowmobile. He's got his live scope, and we'll talk about live scopes here too. But he's on his snowmobile, and boom, he's drilling holes, and he's motioning us over. You're going after that big fish. I mean, so over 30-inch walleye is kind of what everybody wants to come up here and get, right?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, a big fish is, even 26-inchers that are fat are big fish up here. But yeah, I mean, obviously that 30-incher is a magical mark, right?
Yeah.
And we're known for hard work and fishing outside. Like I say, the fish house is just something I'm dabbling with, going to be getting into it. Yeah. more as rentals and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's not what we do, eh? What we're known for is outside, bouncing around, staying on the bites, drilling holes, working, fighting the elements. And that's you know, more times than not how you got to get into your fish, right?
So. Yeah. And when you say fighting the elements, I mean, what I've noticed about Lake Winnipeg, you don't know what you're getting from day to day.
No.
I mean, it's you can come out here and it's a blizzard.
Yeah.
And where you were fishing, you're not going to find your holes, dude, you know, even on a regular night, because, you know, I noticed that today. I was like, oh, we'll find these holes right away. And, oh, no, they're snowed over every night. Everything looks different. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really tough. So you probably rely a ton on GPS, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, we live and die off GPS. And, you know, the holes, if we could find them in the morning, we wouldn't use them anyways. We have this thing about clean ice.
Really?
We always want to move over a bit. Huh. The fish move over, fish clean ice, fish uncharted stuff. And that always seems to be
work
out better. Guys want to go to their old holes like there's some kind of magic there, and it just doesn't work.
Maybe if you're perch fishing in South Dakota and you find a perch hole, you know, you're going to sit there and you're going to hunker down for a while. But here, I mean, so typically these big walleyes, are they constantly moving?
These things are always moving. They're always moving. They're always shifting. And you with the live technology, you can see that now. Even when you got big groups of fish in areas, they're still in those areas, but sometimes they've shifted over 50 yards. Sometimes they've shifted over a half a mile, but they're always slowly milling around and moving. They're very rarely just laying on bottom.
So if you catch one there, I mean, you don't mark one for 10, 15 minutes. Are you moving typically?
Yeah, it's tough. That's a good question, because in the old days with flashers, that's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm using is the Vexlar, but I see you guys live scope. So tell me about, how many years ago did you start using live scopes?
So we're about 2 years in, maybe 3 years with some of us, but really it's become instrumental. The difference is what we can't believe is how often there's fish everywhere.
Yeah.
Like literally thousands and thousands of fish around you. And then you drop flashers and there's 8 guys fishing with flashers and nobody marks a fish for half an hour, and they're just not bite.
It's crazy.
When they shut off, they just don't want to come in. They don't show themselves. You don't know they're there. And if without this live technology, you have no idea.
Yeah.
So on one hand, it's made it very, very easy to unlock this lake, know where the fish are, and keep on rotating to the schools. But we're also learning a lot about bite windows. And this year, out of all the years I've ever seen, I've never seen these fish as finicky as they are.
Really?
As they are this year.
They'll come in 5-10 yards away, you jig it, and then boom, they turn.
Yeah, they turn away, or they just not biters, or they'll follow it in fairly aggressive. You can't get them to bite. I mean, we're don't get me wrong, we're catching fish and doing better. Guests are happy, whatever. But it's just far less than our expectations are of a decade in this lake.
Yep.
And I think what the reason why, when we're seeing it more and more, this lake is absolutely inundated with bait right now.
Yeah.
There is bait everywhere you go. And the bait it is not bait balls of minnows being pressured by walleye. They are just big, massive swaths of bait.
I've noticed that.
They're just cruising around. They're taking a Sunday drive with the kids. They got not a care in the world. They're not being hunted because there's so much bait. This is what I think anyway. There's just so much bait these walleyes can eat wherever, whenever they want. They don't need to corral these bait. They don't need to hunt in packs. It's just whatever. And I think that's why we are having the fishing we have.
Do you think there's more bait the last couple of years then, are you saying, too?
As far as I'm
noticing it on the live scopes, right? What kind of bait is it? Is it shiners, you think?
Yeah, there's emerald shiners and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, young of the year fish. And
Well, obviously, you've been doing good. I've seen your Facebook page. Check out his Facebook page. I mean, you got some pigs on there, dude. And the walleyes here, man, they're so green. They call them the greenbacks. Yeah. I mean, now I kind of got an idea of why they're called that, but can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Why they got that beautiful colors?
So as far as we're aware, it's from the limestone rich basin of the North Basin in this lake. There's you know, there's so much limestone in this lake that really changes the iridescent coloring of the fish.
Yeah, because I've seen some in Minnesota that were kind of orangey. There's just a beautiful green color. I got a 9-pounder on my wall, just absolutely beautiful. It doesn't even come close to the colors in South Dakota, you know, which are beautiful too, but more kind of a gray, maybe black, you know, different things like that.
For sure. So it's important to have a guy that knows how to paint them for those replicas.
So. Right? Yeah. I got a couple. You got a good guy up here too?
Yeah, I do. You know, I got a guy back home, South Dakota, Tyler Erickson, top-notch taxidermy.
Oh, nice.
Guy's a champ.
Okay. So where are you from originally, Donovan? Are you a local guy?
I am Winnipeg, born and raised.
Really?
I'm a hood rat that moved to the country.
Rat that moved to the country. Yeah. Took up fishing.
That's right. Well,
kept you out of trouble or what?
I was, I think I was switched at the hospital because I was a country kid that was switched and born in the city. So I grew up kind of in the hood in Winnipeg, and I always loved fishing. And eventually when I had my
You got switched at birth, you think, huh?
That's right, yeah.
your dad was a fisherman.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But so tell me a little bit about, I fished here five different times. I've never caught anything but a walleye because I come up here to catch walleye, but I'm surprised I haven't picked up a catfish or a northern or something. Do you pick up a lot of those while you're fishing?
Well, the northerns are in different areas in this time of year. And I mean, in late in March, when we're fishing shallow, we start picking up some northerns incidentally. Catfish, we just don't have the money for the biology to do the studies and stuff like that. But, between going out to the North Basin and hunkering down in the deep holes in the river in the wintertime, the catfish are pretty dormant. The other stuff, I mean, sometimes you will get into areas where you're on whitefish or perch or something like that, but they just don't bite the bigger lures that we're using. It's predominantly you target walleye, catch walleye.
Yeah, okay, cool. So let's talk lures. I checked out your video you did with Smoking Fish. And you're kind of talking about the PK lures, and that's what I'm using as a PK rattle.
No, it's a pelican.
Or a pelican. Yeah, the pelicans. Okay, yep, the pelican lure. So, but you said to go smaller, is that right? Was that you?
Yeah, so obviously we're
this known, year, typically?
Yeah, we're known for the big spoons and the big presentations.
Yeah, like 4 inches, you know, right?
And don't get me wrong, we're still catching on rattle baits for some reason. Rattle baits seem to be good this year at times. But as far as the spoons, it's been really hard to pattern anything this year. But those small, it seems like smaller, downsized spoons, pink colors and stuff like that. And then those J-bombs, those pelican J-bombs that have been around forever. I basically just got Nolan there, Pelican, to put on a couple extra flashes on the bottom, add a couple to the top. We upsize the hooks, here's the biggest tip for your listeners, guys coming up here.
Give it to me.
Upsize all your hooks.
Upsize.
All of them. None of your hooks are big enough. They're weak. They're flimsy. They lose fish. We lost a fish today on a small hook because of that. And so even those doubts. So I get them to upsize those hooks. They're double X strong hooks, right?
Yeah.
Even when you go to a downer, like smaller downsized stuff like buckshocks, get rid of those cheap hooks and upsize them with bigger hooks.
I mean, why are they putting those cheap hooks on there? I wonder. Save money. But I mean, you're spending $4 or $5, $8. Yeah. $10 for a lure, it's like, shoot.
I think
what kind of hooks are you using then? You go like two sizes up,
Like at least one size, maybe two, but I usually use owner hooks. But there's lots of good hooks,
a lot sharper.
Yeah, and just like I like the double X strong stuff too, but just a bigger hook, less chance of losing that fish on the ace. And it's just I think a lot of those lures come stocked from the store with like you're fishing panfish or perch, soft mouth fish. So it's less like it's not an issue with a crappier
Typically people aren't going to a place where they have a very good chance of catching a 12-pound walleye.
Exactly.
Some of the bigs, what's your biggest, what's your personal best?
By weight, I caught many years ago, I caught a 32 that was over 15 pounds.
Wow.
And since then I've
dude
caught,
that is fat.
Yeah And since then I've caught several, well, not several, I for sure two that are probably in the 13-pound range. Like 31 plus.
Yeah.
So my top five are, like, we do by length up here. So my top five would be 31 or bigger.
31 or bigger. Yeah. Okay, cool.
But, the biggest was that 15 by far. And then last year, for the first time, Blackwater Cats guest set a record for a guest and caught one that was like 32 3/4. That was over that 15-pound. It was bouncing on the 15 pounds on a scale. So
was this person an avid fisherman then?
He's a regular really? Guest, not
sweet.
Super
good
hardcore
for him.
But a regular guest of ours, and that was by far one of those fish where everybody on the ice stops the walks over and comes take a look, and the guides are like, oh my god
this thing is huge.
We've only seen a couple fish like that in our lives.
That's awesome So are you tipping these lures with minnow then?
Really, salted minnow's been the way to go forever.
But
this year it's been heavy live, because the fish have been so finicky, and we've done this periodically over the years, but we've been kind of exclusively using live minnows this year just to try to help those coax those bites.
It's kind of interesting because I fish South Dakota a lot. I fish the Missouri River. You're always looking for points. You're looking for drop-offs. You're looking for contours and different things like that. Here, dude, you come out here, if you don't have a guide, you don't know where to go. You have nothing to go by. It's like a big bowl, right? Or no?
It's not a structure fishery. These fish are moving around looking for bait, it's beyond even like finding pods of fish. It's finding pods that bite. Like I could take you to a pod of fish right now.
Yeah.
That every time we go there, they don't bite. We lit them up one day early in the season.
Really?
And every time we go back there, there's piles of fish around. They just don't want to bite. We're just moving around to different areas, bite windows and it's crazy, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, these fish are moving around. They're not relating to structure. It's just.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you definitely don't have any, you don't know where to go. Yeah. So that's why I always recommend, if you're going to go to a, you know, any place, get a guide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going for 3 days, you don't have, get a guide for 3 days.
And not just any guide.
For just 1 day. Yeah, just any guide. The best guide. The best guide. Blackwater Cats, baby. But it's kind of cool. I like it up here. If you guys are coming up, it's like a 10-hour straight up north drive from Omaha. So it's not a bad drive. When you cross the border, you know, roll your back window down, take your sunglasses off. Those guys aren't going to take any lip from anybody. I've known some guys to just kind of give them a hard time and be kind of funny. They're not there for jokes. I don't bring any tobacco or booze over. I buy it all here. You know, I like to buy it locally. Stop at Selkirk at Smoke and Fish, stock up on some supplies. It was funny because I talked to him last week and I said, so Smoke and Fish, tell me about the smoke. And he says, oh, that's the back room. You know, he's got a dispensary back there. He says, you Americans love coming up here, taking those sativa gummies and staring at them ice holes all day. I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Lee, that must be Lee.
Yeah, well, yeah, good dude.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Lee definitely got the personality. He's been doing this a long time, and he's definitely got the character.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's a cool dude. Yeah. So tell me what else you do besides, you know, you were walleye fishing, you know, in the winter. But your Blackwater Cats, I mean, somebody might be interested in that because yeah. I am, because I love cat fishing.
So, okay. So what we do now year round is basically walleyes are obviously all winter ice fishing. And then come spring, we actually now in the last 3 years developed an open water bite for walleyes. And our open water fishing for walleyes up north on Lake Winnipeg mm-hmm. is by far surpasses anything we do on the ice or have ever done on the ice. And
really?
We do well. But that is the best walleye fishing 99% of guys will ever experience in their life for both size and numbers, really? Action. It's crazy.
Like, what time of year is that?
That's there's two times of the year. It's spring and fall.
Spring and fall.
So we're talking last couple weeks of May, first week of June, and into all of June is good.
So you're getting booked. Are you guys getting? You got guys probably that just book you every year for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is a new thing, right? Uh-huh. So last year was the first year I started having large, like lots of groups of my American ice fishermen starting to come up and doing the open water boat stuff. And all of them are telling us, yeah, they're coming back every year. Huh. And then same thing in the fall. So we fish them all year. Like we have trips July, August. And even then when the fishing's slow, we're still catching walleyes up there. Mm-hmm. But you're talking like the last 2 weeks of September and then through October, the bite's crazy up there too.
Wow.
So walleyes really become dominant. However, world-class catfishing, it's so fun, so simple.
World-class, I mean, channel or blues, flatheads?
No, just channel cats.
We just don't
have,
channel.
Oh, we
just
don't have blues, cats. We don't have flatheads. Huh. But our channels, like I tell them, like it is like the closest thing to kind of saltwater fishing you're going to find with the action and the fight and how easy. Like it's literally, you go out for a four-hour day and the bite's half decent, you can expect to catch 12 to 15 fish, 20 Dude, pounds.
Wow.
And that's like, that's not even a big day. Like we go out and catch... In a four-hour trip, if we went and caught six catfish between 18 and 20 pounds, we'd be looking to sell our boat and wondering what we did wrong that day.
Really? Crazy.
Like that's what it's like.
So you're wore out from catching these things.
Yeah. I mean, when it's honestly, the bite gets so good for catfish at certain times of the year, it's too much.
Yeah.
Guys will be sitting in the boat saying, no, you take the rod. No, you take the rod. It's really? Too much. Like when you start catching like 50, 60, 70 fish over 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And fighting hard like a demon in the current. Like every one of these fish fight to, like, there's not like a wall.
Crazy.
These things are battling you.
How big do these channels get up here?
When you push 30 pounds, you're kind of getting the top end size. And we've caught it, you know, we might catch one or two a year that are big.
Yeah, that's a big fish.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, a 15-pound channel cat, we're trying to shake off the hook. I don't even want in the boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Just trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're big fish. Big fish Donovan.
There you go.
Right?
But yeah, that's so here's the best time for a 1-2 punch. Guys come up here big 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we'll pick the nicest 2 days for Lake Winnipeg,
okay.
And the windiest day we'll go pound channel cats on the Red River.
On the Red River.
Yeah, it is
which is
an hour and a half south.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so you're talking like you can stay in one hotel for 2 days, another hotel for a night.
Dude,
and it's just like I'm telling you, it is the best 1-2 punch. A world-class sport fishing anywhere on earth.
What time of year is that?
That's late May.
Anytime
late May through June. And then same thing in the fall, like late September.
So if I get a couple guys together, give you a call.
Yeah, I'd three or four guys in
that.
A boat.
I'd love to do that. So what are you doing? So what time of year are you able to get on the ice up here?
We start guiding on December 27th of the year. And before that, it's just ice, finding fish, it's ice
Christmas
conditions.
Christmas time, you're running around. So, and then going towards when? When's ice out?
We fished to the end of March. And the ice, I've only seen the ice out earlier than that once in my life.
That's a nice long season. So now I wish I could, maybe I'll post a picture of Donovan's truck. It's a Suburban with tracks.
No, don't post a picture of the truck.
No.
Post a picture of Tobin's track ranger.
Yeah, right?
He can have
one,
the followers.
He got another new one, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always good. I think he's got like four of them or something, maybe. Nice. I don't know. But
I wish I had his money.
Yeah, right?
He wishes he had my job. I wish I had his money.
Oh, yeah. He'd love to come up. I could see him retiring and being a guide for you up here.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Everybody likes Tobin, so well, I'm glad that he introduced me to you. And guys, is there anything else you want to touch on a little bit? I mean, it's, how about ice conditions? Now, I call it, when I'm driving across this lake, I call it cemeteries. And what, you know, it looks like tombstones coming up out of the ice. I mean, literally, these things, we seen one the other day, it was 4 foot chunk of ice. What's causing that?
Well, that's just wind. When the ice is forming, you get a thin layer of ice and you get a big blow up and it piles up the ice and then refreezes and piles it up again and refreezes.
Okay.
It's just the wind does that.
It's crazy. So you can't go fast on this lake.
No, I mean, you can, but you'll learn the area your ways quick.
Yeah, you'll break something.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to nickname my truck Miss Daisy because I'm driving Miss Daisy.
You're driving Miss Daisy.
I'm rolling that thing around as slow as I can.
Oh, driving Miss Daisy. Yeah. I love it. Well, I don't, you know, there's plenty of places to stay up here. I think a lot of your guys, which we've stayed at too, is the Canalta in Selkirk. They got a nice breakfast. Yeah. You know, we're staying at the casino this time, you know, right across the road. We stayed in a VRBO.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a Bridgeview Bed and Breakfast too. Weezy there. She takes care of my guys really good. So
okay.
But Canalta, Selkirk Inn, Bridgeview, lots of
Bridgeview.
Places.
Those are nice places for sure. But boy, is there anything else you want to touch on before I ask you the golden question, Donovan?
Sure. Yeah. No. I'll tell you what we learned through COVID is how dependent we are here. Everybody in Canada, the fishing, hunting, outdoors industry. Yeah. Here in Canada is so dependent on American dollars and you guys coming up for tourism. You know, can't wait to have, we're starting to get them all back. We hope you guys keep coming back. And I'd like to say thank you to everybody because without you guys, we don't exist. Yeah. None of us exist. 90% of the tourism for hunting and fishing outdoors would dry up without you Americans.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you guys found that out firsthand.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so the question is now for a guy that catches trophy fish, you know, walleyes, catfish, give me your bucket list trip. I mean, where would you go and what type of fish would you target?
Oh man. Okay. So there's a couple things I would like to do in my life. I would like to,
we got a crowd over here too,
by
the way.
We
got a crowd. They're actually fishing on a live scope right now in.
No. It's a mega live.
Oh, it's a mega live.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't have one of these yet. So I'm going to have to learn more about these. I'm definitely going to get one because of the Vexlar. You're fishing straight down. Yeah. You can't see them come from the side. You guys got a fish on there right now? Well, who's going to catch it?
I better hurry up and do this.
Yeah. So we better get going.
So I can catch this fish.
Yeah, right. Go catch it for me. So where's your bucket list trip?
So a couple things I'd like to do is a Fraser River sturgeon at some point in my life.
Okay, where's that at?
That's in Fraser River, BC. Like a white sturgeon. I'd like to go catch
a
white sturgeon.
Sweet.
There's definitely like to do peacock bass somewhere in
peacock
the Amazon.
Peacock bass, really?
Yeah, in the Amazon somewhere. And then actually a giant catfish in either the Amazon or Europe or something like that and go do like a trophy trip for one of those monsters.
Really?
Prehistoric monsters. Those would be a couple.
That would be fun. The peacock bass, I might have a guy for you, Jim Riley Outdoors. But but anyway, thanks, my man. It's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm looking forward to fishing with you one day again.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.